Bezras Hashem Yisbarech. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Ches in Maseches Shabbos. We're going to continue with some of the halachos from the previous Mishnah on daf Kuf Mem Zayin of Gzeros Midrabanan, and then on to Perek HaShoah. Perek HaShoah is going to deal with halachos of lending on Shabbos, and we're going to have some interesting permutations of the halachos of lending both during the week and on Shabbos, and we're going to be discussing the halachos of lending during Shemitah as well. So let's begin. Bottom Kuf Mem Zayin on the days. The Mishnah had told us ve'ein machzirin es hashever. The Mishnah Kuf Mem Zayin on Aleph had told us that you're not allowed to put a joint back in on Shabbos. Now, interestingly, the Gemara is going to say that we don't pass in this way. Amar Rabbi Chana Bagdasa Amar Shmuel. Halacha machzirin es hashever. The halacha is that you're allowed to put it back against the simple reading of our Mishnah. And therefore, we're not concerned that it's considered refuah. We're not choshesh that it's refuah, and the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. How can you disagree with the Mishnah? The Ritva says it must be that Shmuel had a different girsa in our Mishnah. The girsa wasn't a machzirin es hashever, but rather machzirin es hashever. Rabba bar bar chana ikla lepampadisa. Rabba bar chana went to Pampadisa, lo al lepirke de Rav Yehuda. He didn't go to the drasha of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda wasn't so happy that he didn't come to the drasha. In general, if a Rav comes and you have a kesher, or he's coming and the entire community is coming, so you should go as well. Shadre la'ada da'ala. So Rav Yehuda sent his shamish, Ada, who da'ila means to draw out. He sent his shamish, va'amarle, he said to him, zil garbe, go and bring him. Bring him to the drasha, make sure that he comes. Azal garbe. He brought him Asa Ashkechei de Kadarish. And it turns out Rav Yehuda was darshaning, and he was quoting our Mishnah. The Mishnah that says, Ein machzirin es hashever. Amar lei, so Rabba Baruch Hanu Rav Yehuda said, wait, I know something on this Mishnah, that even though you have the girsa, like in our Mishnah, of Ein machzirin, but I have a different tradition. Amar Rav Chana Bagadota Amar Shmuel, the same quote that we saw on the bottom of Amar Beis, Halacha Matzirin Es Hashever. The lacha is that you can put it back. So Amar Leis, Rav Yehuda said, ah, you see, you weren't going to come to the shir, we would have lost out. Ha Chana Didan, Vaha Shmuel Didan. You're quoting our Chana and you're quoting our Shmuel. Lo Shmueli, I didn't hear it. V'la Bedina Gabirtech. And it wasn't correct that I brought you to the shir. In other words, not only should you come to the shir for yourself, but you could also add something. You could also correct us from Isurim. We also learned in the Mishnah that Misha Nifrika Yadai Raglai B'makom Chiburim, that if there is a joint that's broken, Machzirin Es Hashever, we mentioned was that there was a break, returning a break. Here it means that the joint was removed. So halacha is that over here, you're lo yitrafeim, you shouldn't be meshafshem them b'shabbos b'mayim tzonim k'dei l'rafosa. So the Gemara brings a maisa that's connected to the story. Rav Avya hav Yosef kamei de Rav Yosef, shanya le yadei, and his hand was bothering him. Seems like it had fallen out from the joint. Va'amar le, so he asked, hachemai, what is the din in regards to this issue? In other words, he asked, Rav Yosef, what can I do in regards to this joint? He said to him, aser. It's also, you can't treat it in the particular way that you were asking. So then Rav Avya showed him another type of refuah, v'hachimai. And if I can I do it this way? Amar le asur. So he also paskin, no, that's also asur. Adahachi itbach yadei. In the meantime, his hand got better. So Amar le, so Rav Yosef said to Rav Avya, mati boilach, why did you ask these questions? Is it mutter like this or is it mutter like that? Hatnan, we already learned in our mission. Mishnifrika yodoy ragla lo yitrafeim bitzaineg, that if a person's hand or foot falls out of the socket, so then you can't massage it with cold. Avarochitz bedarka v'nisrape nisrape. So we learned that it's aser. Amar lei v'lo tnan ein machzirin es hashever. It's true that we all that at first glance sasser, and really, therefore, you shouldn't have asked the I shouldn't have asked the question at all. However, we also learned a maksir and a sashefer that you can't treat the broken bone. And nevertheless, Amar Rav Chanan Baghdad to Amar Shmuel, Rav Chanan from Baghdad said the name of Shmuel halacha maksir and a sashefer, that the halacha is that you can return the shefer. So you see that even though our Mishnah says it one way, there were traditions that had different girsos in our Mishnah. Amalei, kula bechada mechita mechetinu. Are you going to say that our Mishnah is all woven with the same cloth? This is a beautiful expression from Chazal. If somebody oversimplifies, so Chazal are saying it's bechada mechita mechetinu. Mechita is the running string that attaches everything, that tightens everything. So you're going to tighten everything with one string just because they changed the halacha machzirin es hashever doesn't mean that we're going to change the halacha mishnifrika yado viragla. That's somebody who's oversimplifying. He's trying to put everything with one string. Hecha de itmar itmar. In a place where we learned that the halacha is not like this girsa and the halacha is machzirin es hashever, that's one thing. Hecha de lo itmar, but we didn't learn it this way, then you can't apply it in any other way. Hadron Allah Chavis, this Bisiyata de Shemaya concludes Perek Chavis. Yes, Rabbi Yamin.
Isn't it though, isn't it very logical though that they would go together? I mean, what's the difference between a Shever and the dislocation? The Shever, I guess, is more dangerous?
Right. I don't think that necessarily was an argument in Svara. The argument was that, well, if you change the girsa, the halach on this thing, then automatically you say change halach on that. So he said, no, just because we changed the halacha on this doesn't mean we changed the halacha on that. That's what I understand.
But what is the svara to be mechalik, though? Meaning, I understand, it makes sense that you should fix a shever because it's dangerous. The dislocation is just not as dangerous? Is that the...
That could be a svara. Yeah, that could be a svara. I'm not familiar with what the Rishonim say, but that could be a svara. We begin a new set of halachas with a new parak. Shoyel Adam mechaveru kade yayin v'kade shemen. A person is allowed to borrow from his friend a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil. Now, what exactly would be the shaila from borrowing? There's no halachic haknah. We're going to see later in today's daf that we have a problem being makdish. But what would the theoretical problem be? So over here, we're going to see in our sugya that the issue is writing. That we're afraid that if someone is going to make some financial arrangement, even something that qualifies as similar to she'ela, we're afraid that someone's going to come to write it down. So we're going to see that there are two different ways you could borrow something. One that will encourage the individual or cause the person to write down, and the other an instance where he won't come to write down. If he says, can I borrow it? So then you're not going to come to write down. But if you say, lend to me, so then it's going to be a problem. We're going to explain in the Gemara that the difference is as follows. Stam halva is shloshim yom, the Gemara Makos and Daf Gimel tells us. And generally, halva is 30 days. So since halva is for an extended period of time, so then people tend to write it down because they're afraid that it's going to be forgotten. However, if we're talking about stam she'ela, so then they're not afraid it's going to be forgotten, and then they're not going to write it down. V'chein ha'isha mecha ve'rasa kikaros. And also, a woman could make the same arrangement when it comes to bread. Vim eina ma'mino. But what happens if you don't believe the person that you're lending to that he's going to return? Meniach taliso etzlo va'osa mocheshbin la'achar Shabbos. Then you could ask for a collateral, and then a cheshbin will be done after Shabbos. So here we're talking about also a business proposition, and that is that someone is taking your chalos, and he's going to pay you for it. But what if you don't believe that he's going to pay you for it? So then in such a case, you could take his talis as collateral. V'chein Erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechal yos b'Shabbos, as well as Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim that falls on Shabbos, meniach telisoi etzloi, he could leave his talis by him, v'notos pischo, v'osimo cheshbin la'achar yomtiv, he could leave his talis by him, they can make a cheshbin for after yomtiv. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Chanan la Abaye, Rava asked the following shayla: Maishna hishileni umashna hilveni. What we had set out opening in our Mishnah, Rava had not yet clarified to Abaye what's the difference between borrowing and lending. That's the same thing. Amalei hishilani lo asal mikhtav hilveni asal mikhtav. If you say lend me b'lashon sheela, a person will come to write. But hilveni, a person will come to write. Rashi explains what I said to you, that when it comes to hilveni, so then that's for an extended period of time. Since it's an extended period of time, we're afraid that a person's going to come to write. However, sheela is not going to. Ask the Gemara, but that chiluk is not true. To this day, we use the words borrowing and lending interchangeably. In fact, when we were in shul together a few weeks ago, Shabbos morning, so we discussed the sugya of ribbis, of lending things to one's neighbor and concerns of ribbis. And then we had discussed if there's a difference between, one of the fellows had asked, I think Aaron had asked, is there a difference of whether I say, can you lend me or can you give me? So it turns out that a lot of times people use those words interchangeably. Sometimes when a person says lend, he doesn't really mean a full halva. And sometimes when a person says give, he sometimes means also to borrow. So that's what the Gemara asks over here. Sometimes people mean that they want a loan for 30 days and they say she'ela, and they're not makbid, ilave. So va'asi l'michtav, va'asi l'michtav, and a person might come to write it down. Bishabis nami asi l'michtav. In other words, sometimes when you ask me she'ela, I don't think you're going to return it to me within 3 or 4 days. I think you really meant helveni, and I write it down. So same thing here. When it comes to Shabbos, you're going to say the word she'ela. I'm not going to really believe that you're going to return it to me in 3 or 4 days. I believe you're going to return it to me in 2 months, and therefore I'm afraid you're going to forget if you think 2 months, and then I'm going to write it down. So on Shabbos also, even if you say she'ela, the same thing should apply. Let's skip the parentheses. Amarlei b'Shabbos kima dehishileni hu deshari le'rabbanan. Since we know, everybody knows that hishileni, it's a Mishnah that says hishileni is motor hilveni lo shari le, but hilveni is aser because you might come to write it down. Minkra milsa. So then, when I say to you the words hishileni, so then I'm reminding you also not to write it down, even if you don't believe me. Then I'm going to return in 3 or 4 days. By the fact that I use the word hishileni is enough that you're not going to write it down. Period. V'lo'asi l'michtav. We continue 4 lines from the bottom. Another random set of halachos that was discussed between Rav Bar Rav Chanan and Abaye. We're going to have 3 of these different sets of halachos, and then we're going to come back to the halachos of borrowing and lending on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanan l'Abaye, Michti, Amar Rabban, Kol Mili D'Yomtif, Kama De'Efshel Shnuyi Mishanina. The halachi is that whenever a pu'ula is done on Yom Tov that has some type of semblance of malacha, but it's mutter to do on Yom Tov, you're supposed to do it with a shinui to remind us that it's mutter on Yom Tov only because it's a tzarech Yom Tov. Therefore, hani noshim demalin chatzbayu b'maya, the women that are filling up their barrels with water from the river on Yom Tov, that would only be permissible because you need the water on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, of course, you can't do that. We discussed the river might be a Carmelis, so they're going to come to walk in the Rishus HaRabim. All of those things are going to be Asar on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, it's going to be Mutter. So you should do a Shinui. My time alone, Mishanyin, and why is it that they don't do a Shinui? Says the Gemara, Mishum Delo, Afshar. There is no real Shinui that you could do. Hey, Chil Yavid, what type of Shinui would you do? Demalion Bechatzpa, Rabba, Limali Bechatzpa Zuta. If they're going to fill up with water that they normally use during the week in a large barrel and fill in a small barrel instead, bechatzpa zuta, in a smaller barrel, hakamapshi beilucha, that's going to cause them to do more walking. And that in itself is going to be being marbe masui on Yom Tov. So that shinu is not going to work. The malim bechatzpa zuta, if they're going limalo bechatzpa rabba, if you're going to say that what they fill up in a small jug, they should fill up with a large jug, so kamapshu masui, then they're going to end up schlepping more. So there's no real shinui that's going to be productive. Top of Amud Beis, Nifros Sudra, if they're going to spread a sheet on top, so then they're going to come to squeeze on Yom Tov, and that we don't want them to do either. Mechasya, which is going to be, of course, asur to them. Mechasya menechintma, if they're going to cover the barrel with a wooden thing to make a shinui, zimna de mifsik vasa mikatre, they're going to want to tie it down because times this cover is going to fall off, and tying, of course, is asur and Yom Tov as well. Hilkach lo efshar, so for that reason, there's nothing that you could do. Another teaching in regards to Hilchas Yom Tov. Three lines from the top. Amar le Rabba bar Rochana la Baitnan. We learned, this is a famous Mishnah in Beitza, lo misapkin, you're not allowed to clap your hands, velo mitapkin, and you're not allowed to hit your heart, velo miraktin biyamtif, and you're not allowed to dance. Now Rashi learns, misapkin means to clap in avelus. Most of us, when we think about clapping, we think about lechadoidi, what you're allowed to do in lechadoidi. But according to Rashi, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Rashi learns that we're talking about clapping hands for avelus, and mitapchen is beating the heart, which was also an expression of avelus. Taisus doesn't like that. Taisus in Lloyd Misapkin, Taisus says, Lloyd Kabir Shekunj Bishrim Dimke Mayur Biyomtev. That doesn't take place in Yomtev. Filu Bechol, Hamoed Nami Aser. That would also be Aser on Chalamoed, because you're not allowed to be misabel on Chalamoed. So therefore, Taisus over here has the Chassidish Mahalach. Taisus saying, no, he's clapping because he's besimcha. He's singing v'samchenu b'vinyonai on Yom Tov. And the shayla is, not only is there a shayla of dancing, there's also a shayla of clapping. Because, so the halachi is that lo misapkin v'chazina da'avdin. And people do it. And no one says anything to them. So why is it that people do the clapping and dancing on Yom Tov? Things haven't changed, Rabbi Hussein, 2,000 years, huh? Why is it that people do the clapping and dancing on Yom Tov? Obviously, is a well-known tesis that says that today's the Gezerah doesn't apply. That's Shitas Tesis. The Ramah quotes it. That today we don't have the Chashash Shem Yisak and Klish here. So in that regard, things have changed a little. But the same shilas appear, whether the halacha is going to be different, that is, of course, debatable amongst the Rishonim. So the Gemara says, V'litamech, Hada Amar Rava, Lo Lesiv Inish Apumei Delichya. This Gemara we just learned not too long ago on Kuf Mem Aleph. And that is that a person is not allowed to sit by the edge of a lechi with an item, Dilma Mingdar Lechafetz, lest the item fall away, and he's going to come to carry it. The Rashi explains that this is women, that there were women who used to sit by the edge of the mavui, and no one says anything to them. They sit with their kadim, Rashi explains, and no one tells them that it's aser, even though we learn beferish, that's aser. And here we have an extremely important Gemara. It says, Gemara, Elahanech li Yisrael, mutav shiyu shagigin v'alyu mezidim. It's leave B'nai Yisrael, that they're doing an aver b'shogeg, because they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen, and therefore, even if we're going to tell them it's aser, they're going to say, what are you talking about? I'm sitting inside the Erev. They're going to say, you're telling me I can't clap? I can't clap? The simcha on Yom Tov? How could it be? They're not going to listen. So therefore, we have this important rule, the parameters we'll need to discuss, of mutav shiyu shogegin v'alyu mezidim. Savar mina. So the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash thought, hani mili, that when do we say, mutav shiyu shogegin v'alyu mezidim, bidrabbanan. Aval bidaraisa loy. But when it comes to Yisurei D'Oraisa, we don't apply it. Says the Gemara, V'loihi. But that's not true. So Beferish Gemara, the question is, what exactly is the Beferish Gemara saying? But Beferish Gemara, Lo Shna B'Drabanan, V'lo Shna B'Drabanan. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Yisurei D'Rabanan, we're talking about D'Oraisa, that the halacha is that we don't say the rule of you have to give them tochacha, but rather, we say, mutav shiyu shogegin v'alyu mezidim. What's the proof? Da tosefes yom ha-kippurim da'oraisa. Because tosefes yom ha-kippurim is a din da'oraisa. That's a din da'oraisa. Gemara learns that out in the beginning of Moed Katan. V'kachazina luhu, de ka'achli v'shasi ad shetekshach. and people eat and drink until nightfall. V'lo amr lehu v'lo midi, and the Rabbanan didn't say anything. So even though you need to stop a little bit before the Zman, and people don't do that, they eat up till the last minute, Chazal didn't say anything because they were afraid that people wouldn't listen. Mutav shiyu shogegin v'al yu mezidim. Now this is a big discussion in terms of halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we don't follow this entirely. Halacha lemaisa, the Ramah quotes in Aruch Chaim, Simin Tav Reish Ches Beis, that the rule, of based on the Bala Itur, the rule is only those things that are not mefurish b'Torah. Do we say mutav shiyu shogegin v'al yu mezidim? Some even correct our girsa in the Gemara, and they say it doesn't mean to say loshna b'drabam loshna midaraisa, but only those things loshna mashe mefurish b'Torah. But if mashe ainu mefurish b'Torah, excuse me, only those things are not mefurish b'Torah. But those things are mefurish b'Torah, so then we wouldn't say mutav shiyu shogegin v'al yu mezidim. But to this day, we still apply that rule. That sometimes it's better for the Rav, or for that matter, anybody who has the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not only on the Rav. The mitzvah of Hochiach Tochiach HaSamisech is for everybody. So that mitzvah does not apply if they're not going to listen. If they're not going to listen, then it doesn't apply. Better to leave them as shogeg. And there's an exception to this rule, and that is the individual who already knows that he's doing it b'mezid. So then, b'makom chil Hashem, then there is an inyan to be moche as well, even if the person will not listen. But if the individual is doing something b'shogeg, and you feel that you're not going to do anything productive by giving them tochacha, and it's going to backfire, so there are gedolei poskim that say that similarly as well, the mitzvah v'ochiach tochiach does not apply. The permutations are beyond our discussion for now, but these are the basics. The sheet of the Bala Itur that rereads our Gemara, but this is the Yisod of Mutav Shiyu Shogegin Va'al Yu Mezidim. We continue on in our Mishnah, V'chein Isha Mechaverta Kikaros. We learned in our Mishnah that a woman is allowed to borrow breads from her neighbor, but she should be careful to say She'eleni and not Hilveni. So says the Gemara, B'Shabbos Uda'asr, Av'b'chol Shapir Domi. The Gemara here discusses another halacha of lending during the week. The mashmos is that there's no problem to borrow from the neighbor. And now we go into Hilchos Ribbis for a couple minutes. Don't panic. Ezeo Neshech is by far one of the hardest prokim in all of Shas. But this part is short enough that we should be able to get by it well. The Gemara says, Lema masnisen delo kehila. At first glance, this Mishnah seems to be against Hillel. A woman cannot lend her friend bread until they turn it into money. What that means is, if I want to borrow from you bread, that's what the Mishnah in Ezeo Neshech says, I have to say, this bread is worth $5, and I'd like to lend it you $5, and you say, yes, lend me $5, and I say, you pay me back $5 worth either of bread or of money. Why do you have to do that? The Mishnah continues, Shemayukru chitin, because maybe the wheat is going to become more expensive. So if I lend you a loaf of bread, and that loaf of bread is now worth $5, but the wheat becomes more expensive, when you pay me back, you pay me $6, the same loaf of bread, but the loaf of bread is now worth $6. So that is the case of sa'a b'sa'a, where the sa'a changes price, and that is ribis d'rabbana. It's not ribis d'oraisa. Ribis d'oraisa is ribis k'tzutza. When I say, I'll lend you $5 and you'll give me back $6, that's ribis k'tzutza, that's d'oraisa. Here, we didn't make up that to make ribis, but it's ribis d'rabbanan, because at the end of the day, you gave me back $6 worth, and I gave you $5 worth. So that's the halacha. So now, how could the Mishnah in Shabbos say that one woman could lend to another a kikar? That's pasha, not true. It goes against the Mishnah in Bamatzia. Shtark akasha. So what's the answer? Says the Gemara, Afilu teima Hillel. No, we have a beautiful answer. Ha ba'asrei dikitzdame, ha ba'asrei lo kitzdame. It depends on what's going on in the market. There are some places that a loaf of bread stays $5 even if the price of wheat fluctuates. Like in most of our economies today, we don't notice much of a difference of what has happened to wheat shares. Now, if God forbid there be a was about to say, if God forbid there be a pandemic, okay. So if chas v'chalila, something worse than a pandemic, so then, and then the entire world markets are all shook, so then it could very well be that the prices of bread would dramatically change. Baruch Hashem, I don't think that's happened. And the entire world should have a refuah shleima. But in such a case, if God forbid the markets become so volatile, so then it would be a shaila. It would be a shaila for us to borrow one loaf of bread for another, because then the prices of the bread is going to change. But if the price of loaves don't adjust based on what the stock shares are in the wheat, so then in such a case we could be makel. So that's what our Mishnah was also talking about. It was talking about in a less volatile time, and in such a case it's going to be mutter. We also learned in our Mishnah, Vim Eino Maminai, that if he doesn't believe him that he's going to pay him back, so then he's allowed to take a mashkin. So now notice, over here we automatically assumed that you're allowed to do this deal, and you're making a cheshbon after Shabbos. So the Gemara says, wait a second, are you allowed to collect a halva that took place on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And the Gemara goes to Yom Tov. Itmar, halvas Yom Tov. Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna litboa, v'rabo Amar nitna litboa. If I borrow something from you on Yom Tov, it's a machlokis, whether you're allowed to go to Beis Din to force me to pay back. Rav Yosef says no. Rabba says yes. Yes. Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna litboa. He holds you can't. Di amrit nitna litboa. Because if you're going to say that it could be collected in court, asin nichtav, then we're afraid that he's going to come to write on Yom Tov. Rabba Amar nitna litboa. You have to weigh, sometimes in halach, you have to weigh two different values. One is the chshash of asil mikhtav. If it's lo nitna litboa, so then, if it's nitna litboa, so then the person's going to write it down. Why is he going to write it down? He's going to write it down to be able to remind himself and remind the Beis Din that he's entitled to it. Nachamal, let me just restate that. Rav Yosef says that it's not nitna litboa because if you're going to write it down, if it's writable, so then he's going to come to be toveya it, and therefore he's going to want to write it down. Rabba says that it's nitna litboa, and he's not concerned about the fact that he might come to write it, even though he might, because you have to choose another value. What's that value you have to choose? Simchas Yom Tov. Se'ena chanami. Everybody agrees that if it's going to be nitna litboa, he's more likely to write it down, because now he knows he has recourse. However, we have a machlokas whether we make the gzeira that he might come to write it down, and therefore aser. Rav Yosef says that the halacha is that it's lo nitna litboa, and therefore we won't be choshesh that he's going to write it. In other words, we made a gzeira that it's not nitna litboa in order to discourage him for writing. And Rabba says that even though he might come to write it, we didn't make the gzeira that he can't collect because we don't want to hold people back from selling on Yom Tov, because that will discourage others from purchasing on Yom Tov. Good, Rabosai? I said it two different ways. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Tanan. If a person, we learned in our Mishnah, how does our Mishnah fit in? Our Mishnah says that if you don't trust him, so then you leave the talis by him. If we're going to say that you can't collect it from Beis Din, so that's why you're going to want the mashkam. If you're able to write it down, so then in such a case, why do you need the mashkam? You'll be able to be toveyait. It must be that you can't be toveyed, and that's why you took the mashkin. He could be toveyed in Beis Din. Omar says the Gemara, a very simple answer. I can relate to the psychology. I don't want to get into a whole fight with him to go to a Din Torah and so on. I'd rather just do a mashkin, and that would be it. Okay, so we have a machlokis. Did we make a gzera that you can't collect it through Beis Din because we're afraid that you're going to come to write or not? That was the machlokis Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that they did make the gzeira, and you can't collect it. Masa Ravidi Bar Avin. So now we have a fascinating shaila. Now, before we go on, we have to be 100% clear in a few things. Again, Rav Yosef Shita is that you can't collect the halva on Yom Tov. In other words, the case being that I'm a store owner and I sell you something on Yom Tov, it's mutter for me to sell it to you al mekach memkar because of Tzorech Yom Tov. That we're allowed to do. But the question is whether you'll be able to collect. You have recourse in court. So Rav Yosef said, no, you have no recourse in court, because Rav Yosef wanted to discourage you from writing it down. Now, another thing that we need to discuss. The other thing we need to discuss is regards to Shemitah. We know that the halacha is that when it comes to Shemitah, that Shemitah is Meshamet B'Sof HaShana. Ein Shemitah Meshamet El B'Sof HaShana. So what happens if you buy something from me at the end of the year? If you buy something from me at the end of the year, if it's before the end of Shemitah, so then comes the last day of Shemitah, Ein Shemitah Meshametes Ela Besov, and you won't have to pay me back. So those are the things we need to know. Let's go. Masiv Ravidi Barabin Hashoiched Esapara. So now, when does Shemitah fall end? It actually ends right before Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, or actually the last day will be of the seventh year, will be the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the eighth year. If Elul is Mu'ubar, so then it's the 30th day. What happens if I'm selling you a cow on Rosh Hashanah? Hashochet es hapara v'chilka b'Rosh Hashanah, and I give it to you on Rosh Hashanah. Im hayechodesh mu'ubar, so if Elul was mu'ubar, mishamet, so then in such a case, Shemitah will be mishamet. Vim lav eino mishamet, but if it falls out on Aleph Tishrei, it's not mishamet. Asks the Gemara, v'ilona t'nali toba, my mishamet. Wait a second, if anything that's sold on Yom Tov, anyhow, the halach is you have no recourse in Beis Din, so you can't collect from Beis Din anyhow. So in what way is it Meshamet? In what way is it Meshamet? Because Beis Din anyhow can't force you. It sounds like that it's Meshamet means that even Beis Din can't collect from you. But Beis Din can't collect from you anyhow. Why? Because we learned according to Rav Yosef, it's not Meshamet. Now, all the Rishonim ask on this Pshat and Rashi. All the Rishonim ask, wait a second, you're right, Beis Din wouldn't be able to collect. But there still is a nafka mina, and that is whether you have to say, no, you can't pay me. It's Shemitah, or I have to pay you. So who cares whether it's Yochel Etboa B'din or not? The question is whether I'm entitled to the money. That's what the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is being mechadish. But for some reason, Rashi learns that the Shiloh over here is whether Beis Din could be kofa. Could Beis Din be kofa or not? And so, according to Rav Yosef, Beis Din can't be kofa either way. So why do we need to say that it's going to be Meshameh? Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Digloi Milsa Decholu. No, the case over there we're talking about is when it became obvious to everybody that the 30th day of Elul was not Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it would not then, in such a case, the halacha is there would be no problem of mechiras on Rosh Hashanah, of Rosh Hashanah, because it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. Tashma, but the Gemara is not done yet. Miseifa, what about the Seifa? V'im lav, if it's not the 30th day, eino mishamet. Then you can't be Meshamet. Iyamet Bishlema Nitan Litboa, if we're going to say that you're able to be Toveya, Hainu Diktani Eina Meshamet, then it means, that makes sense, that you can't be Meshamet. Eliyamet Lo Nitan Litboa, but if we're going to say that on Yom Tov you can't be Toveya, Amai Eina Meshamet. In what way is it not Meshamet? Diyavle Shakil. But if he wants, he could take it. Michlal Dereisha, Yavle lo shakil. But then the Reisha seems to say that if he wants to give, he can't give. Why? At the end of the day, because the halacha is that it's Shemitah's Meshamet. So the Gemara says, Reisha tzarech lemeimar le'meshamet ani. No, the nafkamina is like this. The Reisha, the chiddush is that he has to say to him Meshamet, in which it's Shemitah. Seifa lo tzarech lemeimer le'mishamet ani. On the Seifa, he doesn't need to say mishamet. In other words, if it's not Shemitah, then he doesn't have to say mishamet ani. In other words, even if the halacha is that it Shemitah is mishamet, nevertheless, the Baal Chov needs to say, I am mishamet. Kidisnan, hamachsechov v'shvias, if someone's returning alone on Shvias, ye'omer le mishamet ani, he should say, I am mishamet, I don't want to collect. Vim omer le afal pikein, but if he says to him, nevertheless, he kabel mimenu, then you're allowed to accept it. So this is a very interesting halach in regards to Shemitas Ksafim, that the requirement of Shemitas Ksafim is that if I'm the Baal Chov, to say that I'm mishamet. I need to say that I'm mishamet. But what happens if you say, no, it's okay, I'll pay you anyhow? So then I'm allowed to take the money. There's no isser in such a case of taking the money. So that's what the chiddush of the Seifa is. The chiddush of the Seifa is saying that he needs to tell him, I'm mishamet, but if the guy wants to pay him, then he can. Why? What's the makor for this? Mishum shnemar v'zed dvar shmita. There's no isser of taking the money. The isser is for me not to say mishamet. But once I say mishamet, that is going to be enough. Period. This is the end of that gemara. The gemara now just gives another couple of examples. Rav Avya shakal mashkoina. Rav Avya took a mashkon of the lova from the Shas Halva on Yom Tif. Rav Bar Ulam arim irume. Rabbi Bar Ulam didn't take a mashkin, but rather he would later on get something else from him. So for example, he would borrow money from him, Rashi says, after Yom Tov and hold on to the money until the fellow paid back. And if he wouldn't pay back what he had taken, so then in such a case, he would have that money that he had borrowed from him beforehand. Okay. V'chein Erev Pesach. We also learned in our Mishnah that the same applied on Erev Pesach. What exactly, let's remind ourselves, what exactly our Mishnah was talking about. Our Mishnah had said that if you have Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim that falls out on Shabbos, so now I needed to buy my Karban Pesach. How did I get my Karban Pesach? So I can't pay you on Yom Tov. So in those days, what would happen is that you would go to the sellers over there in Yerushalayim and you would make up with them that I'll take this seh for this and this price. I take this seh, and you remember what type of seh I took, and after Yom Tov, you'll tell me how much I owe you. It's interesting. How much are we allowed to discuss about the money on Shabbos is an interesting question. But they would say, we'll make the cheshbon after Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan taught, Magdish Adam Pischo b'Shabbos. Based on our Mishnah, it would seem to follow that you could consecrate your Pesach on Shabbos. We know that the halacha is that one has to designate the Karban Pesach. So if I buy it on Shabbos, of Erev Pesach, so presumably I consecrated it on Shabbos itself. V'chagigasoy b'yom tov. As well as the Karban Chagiga, you're allowed to be makdish it on Yom Tov. Even though in general, we're going to see shortly, the halacha is that you can't be makdish on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but there's an exception. Those things are for Stam, if you want to bring in a Dava. But for the Karban Pesach, or for your Chagig on Yom Tov, that's going to be Mutter. Lema Misayaya Le, let us find the proof. V'chein Erev Pesach B'Shalayim Shechaliyos B'Shabbos V'niyach Tal Zetzlo Merotos Pesach V'asim O'chesh B'nachar Yom Tov. Our Mishnah would seem to support it. He's buying it on Shabbos, and presumably he's being makdish on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no. Hachem ma'iskinam b'memana acherim imoy al pischoy. Our case is that he was appointed with others on his Pesach. In other words, what happened was as follows. This Karban Pesach was already designated for others, and it had already been sanctified. The me'ikara migdish v'koy, it had already been sanctified. But what it means is that it had been sanctified, and he now joins in with that Karban Pesach. So you're allowed to buy and join in. I'm allowed to say, can I join in with your Karban Pesach? We'll do a cheshbon after Yom Tov, how much my part costs. Let's say there are already five people, and I'm the sixth. So you'll do a cheshbon. We won't discuss the details now on Yom Tov, but it already was mukdash. There was no problem being makdashit on Pesach. Says the Gemara, but didn't we learn that you're not allowed to adjoin on the behemoth, so your teretz is not good? Shani hacha, kiven de rugel etzlai, Now we're talking about people that are already joined together. Just like, you know, the Dafyomi Chabura, it's automatically the same Chevra that's doing it over and over together. So too, the Karim Pesach, you had that same Chevra that was doing it over and over together. It was almost understood beforehand. I guess the best parallel would be Purim Suda, right? You sort of have a muchzik, and then when someone changes his Purim Suda plans, so then everybody gets uptight. So once upon a time, Lahavdil, that was the Karim Pesach, Halavai. You should be Zoche to do it. Purim Suda is a mitzvah kala compared to Karim Pesach. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Shamish that one time at Rav Yitzchak Tursi, Zichrona Levracha's Suda, so of course his sons, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Kasha Levracha and Rav Yibadal L'Chaim, Rav Meir Tversky, I would assume, was also there, and Rav Soloveitchik came for the Purim Suda. Rav Soloveitchik got uptight that Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Kasha Levracha was drinking too much. So he glared at him, and he said, "Genug Shein Moshe." He said, "Enough." He wasn't happy that he was drinking so much. So the Shamish told me, Rabbi Mordechavitz told me, that Rav Yitzchak Tversky never spoke back to his father-in-law. But this time he said to him, "Father, it's a mitzvah." He defended his son. "It's a mitzvah." So Rav Soloveitchik said, "At most it's a mitzvah kala." That's what he said. "At most it's a mitzvah kala." So he answered back. He said, "But it says in the Mishnah, Hevizar b'mitzvah kala kibbechamura." Derech Agav, the Ramban quotes in this week's parasha, Ozi Avdol Moshe, "Hevizar b'mitzvah kala kibbechamura." To which Rav Soloveitchik said, "As let's bench, I'm leaving." That's all. That's the end of the story. Okay. So, in Mirtz Hashem, we should be zeicha not only for the mitzvah kalas, but even for the mitzvah. We're missing the mitzvah chamuras. We're missing the mitzvah chamuras. Says the Gemara, "Va'atani Rabbi Oishia, but didn't Rabbi Oishia say, 'Hailech Adam Eitzel Raya Haragalatzot, V'noitzel Atval Pischam Akdish V'yotzibah'?" The Brisa says, Beferish, that it's mutter to not only to join into a previous Karban Pesach, it's mutter to go to a shepherd to get a Karban Pesach. So the Gemara answers, "Hasanam Kim Deragalatzloi," since it's normal for him to go to that shepherd. In other words, now we're talking about not the Purim Suda and the Pesach Suda, but now we're talking about the butcher. That you normally go to that same, in this case, not the butcher, but the shepherd. You normally go to that shepherd, so then, Kim Deragalatzloi, Dushe Magdish Lemei Kara. So the Roe already knows. He knows that you're coming, so he's going to be Magdish it before him. But you can't be Magdish on Yom Tov. That's the theme. Every single time it seems that there's a time where it says that it's mutter to be Magdish, we're Madchik that you can't be Magdish. Even though Rabbi Yochanan seemed to have said that was mutter. Asks the Gemara, "Va Magdish Kitani," but the Brisa said Beferish that he's Magdish after the Hakna. It doesn't say that the shepherd was Magdish it. Says the Gemara, "Hegdish Eloi Midrabanan." If the Roeh already did it, then you're allowed to do a Midrabanan. In other words, Midrabanan there Mesakin, even if the shepherd is Magdish before and the Behemoth for you, he knows which Behemoth you like. Another parallel, your Esrig fellow, he knows the type of Esrig that you like, he puts it aside, so the Roeh would know which type of Karban Pesach this guy likes. So he sets it aside, he's Magdish it for him beforehand. But the halacha is that even though he does that, you're supposed to be magdish it again. So that's what we're learning over here. That if he was magdish it beforehand, then on Shabbos, so then in such a case, the individual is allowed to be magdish it on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to be magdish it from the beginning. That's still going to be osur if there wasn't any hegdish before. So now we have a problem. So that's how the Gemara is learning up Rabbi Yochanan. Says Gemara, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi," but Rabbi Yochanan was more explicit than these prices. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Magdish Adam Pischo B'Shabbos," that you can be Magdish it on Shabbos. All of the brayas that we brought, we rejected. Every single one of them, we said, no, it was already Mukdish beforehand. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan standing alone. The Rabbi Yochanan saying that you could be Magdish on Shabbos itself. But not only is Rabbi Yochanan standing alone, and now in every raya from the Braisa or Mishnah, we reread all of them, Rabbi Yochanan seems to contradict himself. It's in the following rule. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan himself said that halacha is like kistam Mishnah. Utnan, And now we get back to the famous Mishnah in Beitza. Not only does the Mishnah say you're not allowed to sing and dance, it also says, loy makdishin v'loy marichin. You're not allowed to be makdish, and you're not allowed to create erichin, v'loy machrimin, v'loy makbiin, trumas and maisers. You're not allowed to do all of those things on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do all those things on Yom Tov. Why is it asur? Because it resembles mekach u'memkar. And since it resembles mekach u'memkar, mekach u'memkar is asur midrabbanan, so too it's going to be asur as well. Ekol elu b'yom tefamru, and these apply to yom tefamru, v'chomer b'shabbos, certainly on Shabbos k'yassus. How could Rabbi Yochanan say you could be magdish? So that's a bomb kashan Rabbi Yochanan. So first we tried rayas for Rabbi Yochanan, we gave up on the rayas, now we have a bomb kashan. Answers the Gemara, le kashan, kam b'chayvi shekavu lem zman, Kam bechavishen kavulam zman. Einachanam. Rabbi Yochanan is going to reread that famous Mishnah in Beitza. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that the only time they made the gzera mekach u'memkar that you can't be magdish is animals that anyhow you don't have to bring. There's no mitzvah hayom to bring. That they didn't have a kavua zman. So let's say you gave an adava, you promised that something good happened to you, so you promised you're going to bring a carbon. So then you're not supposed to be magdish on Shabbos. But what happens if it's Shabbos Erev Pesach? So then in such a case, you would be able to, and Rabbi Yochanan rereads that Mishnah, even though the simple reading of the Mishnah is you can't be magdish at all. This b'siyata d'shmaya was daf kuf mem ches in Masechet Shabbos.